Thank you, Father, for your word that helps us in life. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the teacher. You are the teacher. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We need your instruction. We need your anointing. We need our understanding to be open. We need this word to go deep inside of us to penetrate our heart. We receive your power not only to hear today, but to put into action what we hear. Because, Father, we're not ashamed to say we can't live without your blessing. We are a needy people. Father, we need your blessing. It's not just a luxury. We cannot live without your favor. We cannot live without your mercy. We cannot live without your blessings on our life. Bless us, O God. Bless us, O Lord. Cause us, Father, to be a blessing to others and never ever do harm to anyone else, Father, but to always do good to others, especially those who are of the household of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is a review of the Hebrew year 5779. That's the year we're in, right?
Yeah.
2019. You know what comes after 2019, don't you?
2020.
2020. 2020 is perfect vision. Perfect vision. Perfect vision. Okay? Every good teacher gives a review, right? So this is a review. Jesus reviewed much. He repeated himself many times. You look in the gospel. I was thinking this morning, is that why we have four accounts of the gospel? Because there's a lot of review in there. All of those men, those four men come from different perspectives under the anointing of Holy Spirit. It all comes together and it's the truth. There's no contradiction, but they come from different perspectives of their personality. It would be like you and I witnessing an event right outside this window. You're going to see something in that event that I don't see, and I'm going to see something you don't see. So it's four accounts of the life of Jesus, and it's not even everything he did, because John said the books couldn't even contain everything. There wouldn't be enough libraries to contain everything that he did. So I'm just thinking today that's probably why we have four gospels. The repetition is important for us to hear again, to be reminded. I believe today we need to be reminded about some significant things that are going to take place this year, 2019. So that's what this is about today. This is where I believe the Lord led me. Okay? First, I'm going to start with reading from Arrows from Zion. I'm just going to highlight what's the heart of this. I'm not going to read all of this, but this is a good reminder for us for this year. Okay? And then I'm going to go through your little handout that Carmen made for us on the Hebrew year 5779 and what it means. Okay? And then from there, we're going to go straight into the word in Romans 12. Okay? So this comes from Arrows from Zion. And it was a blog that was written that we received the beginning of this year. And we did already mention that the Hebrew year is 5779. The first letters of the Hebrew alphabet have numerical values. So the year we just ended, or that we're in now, is 5779. Okay? Now, this is important, so please listen. Everybody, try your best to tune in. Okay, we have the 5,000. Or 5779. We have the 5,000. 5,000 is the Hebrew word yay. Tav is 400. Shin is 300. We have the 400 and the 300 making 700. So we have the year 5779. And then 7 is Aven, or Ven is 70. Is 70. And Tet is 9. So that equals 5779. Okay, so let's break this down and see what this means, okay? We also want to remember that this is the 70th year anniversary of the modern state of Israel. Mm. Now, God, in his perfectness, does everything in divine order. That's not a coincidence. That's not coincidental that this year would be the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel. So we know there's a heavy prophetic significance attached to that. Okay? There's a dual prophetic meaning to this year of Israel's 70th birthday. There's a dual meaning here, okay? And we're going to Zechariah 12, 2 through 3. God's word says, I will make Jerusalem a stone of offense, which is exactly what is taking place right now in Jerusalem. Would you say amen? In Israel, yes. Right now, as Jerusalem is dividing people and nations in terms of where do you see yourself in relation to Jerusalem. Now, I know a lot of things have already happened, but this is still current. This is still current news. The current news for today is, do you see yourself standing with Israel or against? Very important this year. That we as individuals stand with Israel, that we pray, make declarations that our nation stands with Israel. Dual prophetic this year concerning Israel, okay? So the 70th part of 5779 is part of the 70th year of the prophetic reemergence of Israel as a nation is the dividing line for the world. We spoke about this earlier. This is a year of divide. Remember that? God separating the sheep from the goats, the sheep yes. nation from the goat nations. Remember that?
Yes.
Amen. Okay. It's the dividing line for the world. It is blessing or cursing. Everyone has free will to choose. Are you going to join the offended over Jerusalem or are you going to join the blessing of Jerusalem? We're going to join the blessing of Jerusalem. That's why we want to give into Israel. We need to give again. We need to give again.
Yes.
Now, I want to give into that Project 77, Sid Roth Ministries, where you're going to put a book into the hands for every $11 you give, you put a book into a Jew. This book that he has written is called They Thought for Themselves. Okay? It's a book by 10 Jews that have converted to Christianity. They thought for themselves. They got into the Word and thought for themselves. It's their testimony of how they came to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe this body needs to sow into that. Okay? I believe that we do. Dean and I have already sowed into that. You get a card that gives you the name of the Jewish families to pray for. They'll come to the knowledge of Christ. And that you are actually placing, this book is actually going into these families. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get the names of the families it's going to. And we can distribute it among us, make copies of it, whatever, so we can be praying for them.
We can do that for, I'm just saying, just a suggestion. You know, we got Pentecost.
Okay.
You know, I mean, 50 days from what we call resurrection.
Okay.
Pentecost.
Okay.
So maybe we can start looking for.
That was good.
So that.
That's good. That is good.
Offering.
That is very good because Pentecost means the ingathering.
Yes.
It means the ingathering. So the harvest, the ingathering. So that's a great idea. So let's start saying, laying aside for that Pentecost offering, and then we'll add to it. But
well,
I would like.
So starting next week, we could put online like
we could.
Resurrection
yes,
offering,
ma'am.
Put the Pentecost.
That's
offering.
Right. I'd like for us to at least do the $777, whatever we need to take from whatever category, at least to do that. That's the least I'd like for us to do. We just sow into Israel because we're standing with Israel as a congregation.
Yes.
We're sowing into that land. That's good land. That's holy land. That's a good place to sow into. They are the root. You say why? Because they're the root.
Yes.
They are the root. We, the Gentiles, are the branches. We're the wild olive branch. That's Romans chapter 11. We're the wild olive branch that was grafted into the native olive tree that grows in Israel, so to speak, symbolically. Israel is the native olive tree. We're the wild branch. God cut a branch off of Israel for a while. They will deny that Christ is the Messiah to give the Gentiles a chance to be grafted in. But they are the root. We cannot boast against Israel and say, well, you know, we Christians, we know who the Messiah is. We know that is Jesus, the Son of God. You still sit in darkness. Paul says, remember, they're the root.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the root, there wouldn't be a branch.
Right.
The root gives life to the branch.
Right.
So it's important that we pray for their salvation, their deliverance, that their eyes are open,
yes.
that we sow into that land.
And
okay, so
Pentecost means harvest.
Harvest, yes.
That means ones that harvest.
Amen.
Pentecost That's what, if you call yourself a Pentecostal, you're supposed to be hard.
Wow, you're supposed to be winning souls.
Yes.
He wise wins souls. Amen. Good reminder. Hardest good word.
So
good
we
word.
Need to remember now, I just looked it up. Pentecost is also the same day as Children's Sunday.
Okay.
We still have to do. We already committed to Children's
okay.
Sunday.
Okay.
And we still have to do.
Yes.
So there's two things we need to. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So people say, well,
thank you.
Oh,
no, I'm not going to do both. And I'm so glad you brought that up, sister, because that is not your tithe. Do not take from your tithe to give to these offerings.
No.
Okay? Miss Arabella, I hear that in the office all the time. You know, when Pastor Sam would make an announcement about a giving, we were always concerned people are going to take from their tithe. That's not. Listen, believe God to provide what you need to sow. Mm-hmm. Believe God to provide what you need to sow. So what we will do to not take away from June the 9th, we will use the whole month of June to collect that harvest offering. Okay? How about that? Because we need a good offering to release. Did not God do a great thing for Zaria?
Yes.
Did not the Lord our God do a great thing for Zaria?
Yes.
This is an offering of praise to God. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll use the whole month of June to do our harvest offering. Okay?
Okay.
How about that? Okay, let's keep on going. Glory to God. So everyone is free to choose whether you're going to join the offended over Jerusalem or you're going to join the blessing of Jerusalem. You know what? If it offends you for me to stand with Israel and say I love Israel and I thank God for a president that stands with Israel, just get over yourself, okay? Just get over it. Because everybody else is already over you, okay? So just get over yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so in Zechariah 12:10, there is a very positive promise made by God that is connected to the same time frame. That is, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look on me whom they have pierced. So that's going to be our word to confess over our harvest offering. Father, we declare according to Zechariah 12:10 that you said you would pour out on the house of David, Israel, Jerusalem, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look and they will see the one whom they have pierced. They will understand. That's our proclamation. That's our declaration over our resurrection offering. So at the same time God is making a stumbling block, Israel a stumbling block to the world, he is also pouring out on the house of David a spirit of grace and supplication. You see the dual going on there? You see dual, two things going on? You see that? You see the evil? He's making them a stumble block. Some people are going to act evil toward Jerusalem, but yet at the same time God's going to do good. God's going to pour out grace upon them. Do you see the dual? You see the two things there? That I was trying to make clear earlier. Did I make it clear? Some of you are looking in your notes and some of you are just looking like you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Did I make it clear?
Yes.
There's a dual purpose here, okay? Okay. First God says, let's go back. The first word is, I will make Jerusalem a stone of offense. Well, that's not good. A stone of offense is not good. Right?
Right.
It's not good. That's Zechariah 12:2-3. Then second, he says, at the same time, I am going to pour out on them a spirit of grace and supplication. We know what grace is, right?
Yes.
Well, we're going to be reminded in a few minutes. And they will look on the one whom they pierced. So at the same time God is making Jerusalem a stumbling block to the world, he is also pouring out on the house of David a spirit of grace and supplication. The more they persecuted them, the more they prospered. The more they hated them, the greater they grew. Is that not what happened in Egypt? Amen. I'm telling you, there's a remnant in this earth that the world has not yet seen, but it's rising up. It is rising up, and God has anointed his remnant with the power of grace. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank y'all for getting excited today.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the same time God is making Jerusalem a stumbling block to the whole world, he is also pouring out on the house of David a spirit of grace and supplication. We see in the same time frame there is cursing, but there is also blessing. You know, there is a very powerful but awakening passage, a quote from Jesus in the gospel. It'll wake you up. It'll wake you up. He said, if a man falls on me, he will be broken. He will be broken. Brokenness is good. Because God said He won't deny a broken heart. Humble. But if I fall on a man, he'll be ground to powder. Mm-hmm. If Jesus has to fall on you, but we want to fall on Him. We want to humble ourselves and fall on Him and ask for mercy, right?
Yes.
Amen. So at the same time, those who curse Israel and don't bless Israel, even though there are still a small number of messianic believers in Israel, there is also something changing among the population, and that is that more people are open to hear about Yeshua or Jesus. This is a sign of the Spirit of grace being poured out by God on Israel. Okay? So we see the dual prophetic for this year, good and evil. Okay? Now I'm going to review this with you, so hang with me because it's very important. It makes a point. It's a purpose behind this, okay? The letter, the last letter in the Hebrew year, 5779, is 9. That's the Hebrew word tet, T-E-T, okay? One thing about the letter tet number is that it is the least used number of the Hebrew alphabet. But the first time it is mentioned is in Genesis 1:4, where God looks upon His creation of light and He says what? This is good. But then God does something else. After He says this is good, what does He do?
Divides.
He divides. He says this is good, but then He divides the darkness from the light, y'all. He makes a difference or a separation between what is good and what is evil. And God still does that. God does not bless what is evil. God does not bless what is evil. God only blesses what is good. Okay? So the Hebrew letter tet has connotations of goodness, yet as written in classical Hebrew script, it's described as resembling the emblems of a coiled snake. Some say it looks like a womb. But it has a resemblance when it's written out of a coiled snake. And also a womb. Again, we see the dual timing of good and evil in the year 5779. Okay? That number is mentioned very few times. It's the least mentioned. And where's the first place it's mentioned? In Genesis 1:4, where God says this is good. But then right after that, God separates the good from the evil. You see the dual there? You see the dual, okay? Satan definitely represents the evil. Now, I have this personal thought. I don't know if I've heard it anywhere, because you know how you hear so many things and you don't remember where you heard it from? You know what I'm talking about? Because you listen to so many things. But I have this personal thought. Why the womb and why the coiled snake? Why does it resemble both? Well, this is also the year where you're going to see, sorry guys, love you, but you're going to see an anointing come on women in a way the world's never experienced before. Okay? I believe that's because from her womb, the woman, came the seed that bruised the head of the serpent.
Yes.
I believe the womb represents the good, and the coiled snake, of course, represents the evil. But out of her womb, Eve, the word of God gave a prophecy.
Yes.
There in the garden, He said, the serpent will bruise his heel, meaning Jesus, and to bruise someone's heel means you try to kind of slow him down. Well, I'm going to tell you something. His heel was bruised when He went through what He went through to get to the cross.
Yes.
But when He was resurrected, crucified and resurrected, then the rest of that prophecy was fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Yes, the serpent shall bruise His heel, but He will bruise the head of the serpent.
Yes.
So He bruised Satan's head.
Yes. Lord.
He bruised His head.
Yes. The common denominator would be the woman.
That's right. That's correct. That's correct. Thank you, ma'am.
You have a place this year.
And going forward, nothing against the guys. Nothing against the guys. But I've always seen the Lord use those. I'm also speak something else that I believe too. Spirit of the Lord's giving me right now. I believe you can see a lot of Muslims converting to Christianity. And I believe you can see a lot of Muslims standing in the pulpit proclaiming the gospel on the street of Jesus Christ. And I said that because I've noticed with God all those that seem to be oppressed, and especially the women among that oppressed group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. As you know, those that you see through history that have been oppressed, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that God is raising up.
Yes.
That God is raising up. Amen. That has been a prophetic word that I heard way back when Dean and I first got married back in the 80s and attended a church called Crossroad Baptist with a minister there, Ben Burr, Dr. Ben Burr, that I learned a lot of wisdom and understanding from the Word of God from that man. That prophetic word goes way back then, and this is a time where it's going to be fulfilled. We're in the time now, it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled. Mm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 It's a good time. It's a good time to be in the kingdom of God and be on the right path. It's a good time. It's a good time. I believe that this speaks of the battle of light and darkness that is upon our world. And Jerusalem, Israel, is the epicenter of that battle. Mm-hmm. It is, y'all. Mm-hmm. We who are the disciples of Jesus know that we're in a battle in every nation of the world, right? But now is the time to stand for Israel, on Israel, that nation that is accused of offending the whole world. It's critical for us as individually and as nations to bless Israel. Okay, so this year, wrapping it up. So this year, 5779, be prepared to see both evil and goodness ahead. Be prepared. Don't get caught off guard. Be prepared to see evil and goodness. We should not focus entirely on the evil, nor should we focus entirely on the good. We must look at both honestly and in faith with the knowledge that the Creator of all things has a purpose in bringing the harvest of both good and evil to maturity at the same time. Didn't God do that with Pharaoh? Yes. He delivered at both times. He brought a harvest of good and evil to maturity. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He brought vengeance against Pharaoh, but he set his people free, didn't he? Yes. Do you see that going on at the same time?
Yes.
A harvest of good and evil. That thought just came to me right now. So let's not be dismayed at the rise of evil, nor fail to see the grace and favor being poured out on us from God. Amen. So that's where I'm going to start with, that grace and favor. That's what we're going to go into right now. But let's look at this a little bit, and let's review this little note. This is a good time to be reviewed this morning. The Hebrew year 5779, of course, 70s mean an eye or seer anointing, means the ability to see. In the darkness, the ability to see light. In the darkness, is that important?
Yes.
Yes, it is. The ability to see what is good and the ability to see what is evil. Y'all, if you don't know, you've got to see what is evil. Because
yes.
If you don't know what is evil, how can you distinguish between what is evil and good?
Yes.
You've got to be able to recognize it, right?
Yes.
Because Satan will disguise himself as an angel of what?
Light.
But we need this seer anointing. The nine meaning is birthing, prophetic insight to give birth. God is going to reveal himself as creator, many created miracles. Revelation of how you can create light in darkness. Create with God. God's voice releases a voice command. Is that what happened in the book of Genesis? Did his voice release something?
Yes.
Yes, it did. He released a command. Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. So we can declare in the middle of darkness, let there be light. I speak light. Amen. Okay, let's get on into the teaching. Oh, that was a review, but that's important. Okay. We want perfect vision, right?
Yes.
Perfect vision is 2020. So it's no surprise to me that 2 Chronicles 2020 says, 2 Chronicles 2020 says, come on, y'all need to tune in today and hear this. I'm serious. I am so serious. I'm so serious. 2 Chronicles 2020. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. What do prophets do? Come on. They speak for God.
They speak the messages of
God. They speak the word, the heart of God. So if you believe the prophets, what's going to happen? You're going to prosper. So the word prosper there, because this is Old Testament, so it's Hebrew, it's 6743. For those of you who inquiring minds who want to know and good students, 6743, it means to push forward. Come on now. To break out, to break out from whatever's holding you bondage. To come mightily, to go over that situation. That's why we seek God for His Word in a situation. For the sword of the Spirit, if you want to call it that, it is that. But a word from God. And you can open your Word and be reading in your Word, and God gives you a word. You don't have to run here and there to get a word.
That's right.
Open the Word and let the Word speak the Word to you.
Yes.
Ask God for revelation as you read His Word. Okay, to push forward, to break out, to come mightily, to go over, to be profitable. And this is the next one's my personal favorite. To cause to effect. If you believe the word of the prophet, you believe it, and you act on it, you speak it, you're going to cause an effect. Something is going to be affected as a result of you believing the word of God and speaking it. Not just sitting back and say, oh, that's nice. That's a good teaching. Oh, that's good. No, open your mouth and speak it out of your mouth. When evil tried to come into a place, I said, oh no, H-E-L-L, no.
Amen.
Evil came in the door, but evil did not have its way. Because there was a proclamation, oh God. There's a proclamation made right there at the opening, the gate, so to speak, the door.
Right.
The authority of God was right there at the door. And said, oh hell, no. And hell had to listen. Hell had to listen. But you know, it's not just something that you all of a sudden, it comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You've been speaking and believing and declaring it. It just didn't magically come. Now God does show mercy, and thank God for mercy, but it's something you got to live by, is what I'm trying to say. You got to live by this. You got to live, because what's in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth, right? You got to live by it. You got to live by it. It's got to be how you govern your life. It's got to be how you govern your life. You can't be flimsy about what you believe. Okay, so if you believe the prophets, so shall you push forward, so shall you break out, so shall you come mightily, so shall you go over, so shall you be profitable, and so shall you cause to effect. Because what you believe is what you trust in and what you act on. If you hear it and you believe it, you act on it.
That's right.
That's how you get the profit. That's how you get the prosperity. You act on it. If you believe something, you act like you believe it, right? You act on it. You do something about it, okay? Okay. So let's highlight what this prophetic word says for this year. Let's highlight it. Dual meaning to this year of Israel's 70th birthday. How do we see yourself? How do we see ourselves in relation to Israel? First of all, we want to bless Israel. That's what we need to pull out of this today. We want to be a blessing to Israel, and we don't pray that our nation always blesses Israel. Second, it's a dual timing of good and evil. Okay? The battle of light and darkness. El Shaddai is the creator. He's called the breasty one. He's the one that made something out of nothing. The creator has purpose in bringing the harvest of both good and evil to maturity in the same time frame. So first of all, what do we want to pull out of this? Bless Israel. Speak blessings over Israel. Second of all, know that there is a timing right now. There is a battle that's going on right now between light and darkness. Know that. It's a dual thing going on, good and evil. Number three, we want to ask for an anointing of Holy Spirit to see. We need an anointing from Holy Spirit every day to see. Prophetic insight to give birth. Prophetic insight to see what God needs us to see and to speak what God needs us to speak so we can give birth. So we can give birth in the earth, creative birth in the earth to God's plan. Well, you say, well, que sera, sera. Well, I just want to reach out and just hug Christians that have that kind of mentality. Well, you know, God's will is going to be done. God does nothing on the earth except he tells his servants first. How about that? And God does nothing in the earth except to responding prayer. How about that?
Yes.
You got proof of that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. God heard the cries of his people in Egypt. He heard their cry.
Heard their cry.
And he sent a deliverer.
Yes.
God does nothing on the earth except in response to believing prayer.
Yes.
Nothing. God does nothing on the earth except first he reveals it to his servants. Okay, 70 is the I, 9 is the birth. Okay, we talked about that. Revelation, we need this anointing from God every day. God, I need an anointing to see today. I need an anointing to see clearly. I need an anointing to see the prophetic, God. I need an anointing today, okay? A revelation of how to create light in the darkness. Create with God. God's voice releases a command. Also, discernment to see what is good and what is evil in every facet of life. Y'all, this is so serious. I can't, I plead with us today. We need discernment to know the difference between what is good and what is evil. Because if we don't know the difference between what is good and what is evil, we will not discern the entrapment of the enemy.
That's right.
We are not meant to be a people that get entrapped by the devil. Not to be caught off guard. Not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. This is so important. This is the year of the seer. This is the year to see. We should be crying out to God, God, I want to see. God, I need this prophetic anointing. Anointing ourselves. God, I need this anointing. Lord, I need... As a matter of fact, I'm just going to pass this around. This is that anointing oil that came from Jerusalem, as a matter of fact, that surely he had given me. You need to anoint yourself. God, I receive your anointing to see the prophetic. I receive. Anoint yourself and pass it. I receive your anointing, Father, to see the difference between good and evil. I receive your anointing, Father, to know what the trappings are of the enemy. I receive prophetic insight to give birth to things, Father, to trip the enemy up. I receive that anointing. We need that anointing from God. We have to have it.
Yes.
We have to have it. It's a sad thing when we go around calling what is evil
Hallelujah.
Good
Hallelujah.
And calling what is good evil. Yeah. God said he hates that.
Yes.
God said he hates it when we call what is evil good and what is good evil. You know what was so sad about Samson? One of the saddest scriptures in the Word of God. He got up to do what he always did and did not know the Spirit of God had departed from him.
Wow.
Yes.
He got up to do what he always did and did not even know the Spirit of God was, the anointing of God was not even on him to do it.
Jesus. Didn't even know.
That's dangerous.
Mm.
Mm. Because he slept with the enemy.
Mm.
He romanced the enemy.
Mm.
He had intimacy with the devil.
Mm.
Uh huh.
Did not know the anointing.
And the devil trapped him up. Even though before he said with his mouth, I remember before he had all these riddles and they never could solve it, right?
Yep.
What the lion that he had killed, the lion and honey was in its belly. He had all these riddles, right? And I love it. I love this passage. I always think about that. He said, you wouldn't know the answer to this riddle if you hadn't plowed with my heifer.
Yeah.
I always love that. Yeah, read this in the King James. I'm not making it up. He was. And what he means is that you messed with Delilah. You got the answer from her. But she taunted him. See, that's the enemy's ploy. To taunt us day. To just taunt us. To taunt us. To taunt us. That's his ploy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to dangle the bait out there.
Yep.
Hallelujah. He can't win. He can't win. He's a defeated foe. So, what happened is that he gave in to Delilah. She tied him up. When should I tie him up before? He said, if you tie me up with a certain kind of ropes, I've never been used before, something I can't, I don't know the exact passage right now, but then I won't be able to break loose. But then the Philistines came in and he broke loose. But then the third time
The third time, she cried. See, the enemy will romance you. The enemy will romance you. He will wine and dine you, honey.
Yeah.
He will wine and dine you.
Help us, oh God.
Anointing to see the preferred in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And this goes forward to our mates and our seed, too. Those that aren't here. Glory to God. It goes forward. Amen. So she whined and she died and she cried. Oh, you don't love me because you don't tell me what I need to know. You don't love me. You don't love me. Be careful of that kind of spirit.
Amen.
Be careful of that kind of pathetic spirit. That's pathetic. That's a pathetic spirit right there. Yeah, yeah. False humility in some cases. Because she knew what she was going to do. So he gave in to her. And he got his hair cut, which he made a Nazarene vow to God, right? Okay? And he got, he said, the Philistines are upon you, the Philistines are upon you. He got him to do what he always did, but he did not know the Spirit of God had departed from him. But God in his mercy showed him mercy in the end, didn't he? Because when they put him to that grits mill, go around and around and grind that, whatever kind of mill it was, I say grits mill, whatever it was. Yeah, yeah. And they poked his eyes out. Then they wanted to jest and make fun of him. And all the time he was going around and around, his hair was growing. Oh, God. I believe he was praying, repenting to God. I believe he was repenting to God. He's going around and around. That hair was growing. And God was restoring him. You know what? There you go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He fell on Jesus instead of Jesus having to fall on him. He repented. He humbled himself. And then they took him out to make sport of him. Remember that? They took him out to make sport and they put him between, out in the column, an open display to make fun of him, to mock him. But they did not know, what they did not know, that the anointing God had returned upon him. And he said, he told the young ladies, I put my hand on this pillow. I might have to go home and read the story today because I know I don't have it complete. But he put my hand on this pillow and the other hand on this pillow. I've heard it prophetically that one's mercy and one's grace.
Right.
You got to have mercy and, I'm sorry, mercy and truth. It takes both. You can walk in truth, but if you don't show mercy, it's not going to work God's way. You can walk in mercy, but yet you got to have truth too. It takes mercy and truth. So here stands Samson between, this is my story, stands between one column, puts his hand on one column that's mercy, hand on the other column that is truth. And I've used this in situations where there's been discord in the body of Christ. I said, God, I stand right here in the middle of this, Lord, with one hand on mercy and one hand on truth. And God, I'm asking you to bring the answer and bring the deliverance. And I've seen God always, when there were situations where you didn't know what to do, which was truth and which was not truth. They say there's two sides to every story, your side, my side. But actually, there's three sides. Your side, my side, and then truth. That's right. So as he stood there with one hand on mercy and one hand on truth, so I say, and then he asked the young lad, the child, to put his hand on those, and he brought in the columns, and he killed more of the enemy in his death than he did in his lifetime. The anointing of God. He said, Lord, this one last time, vindicate me against my enemies. Is that what he said? This one last time, vindicate me against my enemies, God. That's right. And let me listen to this. Let me end on this note, and we'll get into the word. But let me say this to conclude this. You can't always judge the vessel. You have to be careful. The anointing's on the vessel. You can't judge the vessel. The vessel might not always do the right thing. Come on.
This
is a vessel. God says he uses vessels of honor and dishonor.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. Come on. If you looked at him then between those columns, you'd have judged that vessel and said, there ain't much to him. There's not anything about him that God could possibly use. He's already failed and messed up. But I'm going to tell you something. God did not, in the end, God did not reject the gifts that he had put on Samson to do what Samson was supposed to do. Because the calling of God was without repentance. You know what that means? God does not change his mind or repent if he gave you a gift. God will never change his mind or be sorry he gave you a gift.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we got way off on that one, didn't we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To know the difference, I know why I went there. Praise God. Not to be caught off guard. To not know the Spirit of God has departed from you. Stay in close, tight communion with Holy Spirit. Tight communion with Holy Spirit. Now let's go to Romans 12 and we're going to wrap this up. How am I going to know the difference between good and evil? How? How am I going to know
realize that God's favor, grace and favor are being poured out on his remnant. We talked about this last week in Romans 11, chapter 5. In Romans 11, chapter 5, that God has the power of grace. Let me just read that real quick. In this age of fulfillment, God's grace empowers his chosen remnant. God always has a remnant and he empowers them with grace. Mm-hmm. What is grace? God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. Do you know the definition of grace? Grace is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart, upon the soul, the mind, the reasoning, the intellect, and its reflection in life. What is a reflection? A reflection gives back an image or a likeness of. Who are we supposed to give back a likeness or image of?
Jesus.
The Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough to ward off whatever comes against you. My grace is enough to fight against whatever comes against you. It is, his grace is continually sufficient for us. It is the divine influence upon our heart and its reflection in life. Grace is reflected off of us. It does something. It shows a purpose. It gives power, y'all. It's an anointing. Grace is an anointing. But didn't we just read that over here about the spirit of grace and supplication? God was going to pour out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. It's an anointing of favor upon the life of the believer. This anointing from God. How to see light in darkness. How to create light in darkness. How to discern good and evil, and how to overcome evil with good. That's what favor does. That's what grace does, y'all. That's what grace does. It's an anointing from God. Okay, let's go into Romans 12. Now, see, grace is powerful. We just throw around that word, and we don't really even realize that grace is an anointing. It's an anointing from God.
Amen.
It's favor. Grace is God's favor on your life. I just can't get off that. It's the divine influence that God's had upon your heart, and it's reflected off of you. It is reflected off of you. Oh, Father.
It's an empowerment.
Empowerment, yes.
It's an empowerment.
Empowerment. His grace is continuously sufficient in you, is what that translates. 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient for the thorn in the flesh that was coming against him.
Or I give grace to the humble, but I resist the proud.
He empowers
the humble.
Yes. Yes. The grace, the favor. Because God's grace and favor does humble you. Mm-hmm. Because you know, if it wasn't for his grace and favor, it wouldn't have gone that way, that good for you. His grace is continuously sufficient in you to ward it off. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. To reflect means to give back. I'm going to give back what Jesus gave to me. It's reflected off of my life. That's how people see Jesus in you. It's the grace they see. It's a reflection of Christ in you. It's a reflection of grace. But how do we see? How are we able to discern the difference between light and darkness? How are we able to create light even in the middle of darkness? How are we able to discern the difference between good and evil? How are we able to overcome evil with good? I think there's some answers in Romans 12. The Word of God is full of the answer. But let's look at Romans 12. I know we're going to find some of the answers right here. The heading of this in the Passion Translation says, the transforming power of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is supposed to transform my life. I'm not supposed to be the same person. Every day the gospel should transform my life.
Yeah.
Transform my life. Every day when I'm in the gospel, what's the gospel? The good news right here. Y'all, it's not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call those the gospels. It's Genesis to Revelation. That's the good news. That's the gospel.
Yes.
Jesus is in every page in every book
yes.
of the Bible. It's the gospel being preached. when I open the Word of, you want to be transformed. You can't be transformed if you're not in the Word of God. You cannot be transformed if you're not listening either by audio or reading the Word of God. You cannot be transformed. Only the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, can transform your life. You want to see a transformation in your life? Get in the Word of God. You can't stay the same. You will not stay the same. So this heading is the transforming power of the gospel. Let's read it. I'm going to read out the Passion's translation, so just follow along. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifice. Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. I am a living sacrifice. And live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. What? What is a genuine expression of worship?
Living in holiness and experiencing delight, being the delight of His heart.
That's right. Not, you know, God, I want to delight You. That's worship. Lord, I want to delight You.
And delight means to be pliable.
Okay, pliable and moldable.
Moldable. You know, people say, delight yourself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And many people think that is, well, if I go to church and I do all the things that I should do, that I'm delighting myself in the Lord and He's going to give. No, that really means you are pliable and moldable in Him.
What about that?
Right? And then
yes.
His will, His word and His will becomes your will. Mm. And then you're delighted. And because then He gives you the delight.
Yes.
You delight in Him because He's molding you.
Yes.
So yeah, when I delight myself in Him because He's already placed it in me,
yes,
then He's going to give me.
That's right.
We like to claim it. Oh, I delight myself in the Lord and I'm going to get the desire. No,
not
wrong
yet.
Answer, because they never looked the Word up.
Wow, not truly being molded.
Being molded, pliable.
Making
like
themselves a living sacrifice. Surrender yourself to God. Be His sacred living sacrifice. Live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Wow. I think the secret is there. The delighting, yeah. Live in holiness. Because, you know, if you're delighting the Lord, you're living in that holiness. You're living in what pleases Him, right? It's not what you wear. Holiness is not what you wear. It's not how big your bun is on top of your head. It's not how big your Bible is. Holiness is a condition of your heart. My heart is set on You, O God, to please You, Lord. Now, I like verse 2 in the Passion Translation. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. See, that's what the gospel does. It transforms you. It molds you. It makes you want to delight God instead of God always delighting you. See, it's reciprocal. When you delight God and you please God, I guarantee you He's going to reward you. He's a good Father. When you please God, He's going to reward you. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So this is where discernment comes in right here. This is how you discern evil from good right here. You get it? Did you see that? Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes, allowing Holy Spirit to transform the way you think, the way we think. That's where discernment comes from. We think that, y'all, God uses your mind to give you discernment. God uses your mind to give you revelation. God just doesn't drop it down. He's got to use it. Look right here. Look at me. Look at me right here. God uses this to give you revelation.
Yeah.
You got to think the thought before you get the revelation.
Yeah.
It's got to process through here. That's why our thinking is so important. That's why we can't discern between good and evil if our thought life is all screwed up.
Yes.
You can't. You have no discernment. You don't know what to do. Because your thought life is so confused and messed up because you're trying to transform. You're trying to conform. Well, I got to conform and be like this, or these people won't like me. I got to do like this, or these people. No, just Holy Spirit, transform me. Transform me. Transform my thinking, my thought life. And then your life is going to please God. And God says when your life pleases Him, He'll cause even your enemies to be at peace with you.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
It might take a little while with some of those knucklehead heads to conform, but they'll eventually conform. Amen. God has given me grace to speak. This is Apostle Paul speaking. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. This is Paul speaking. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion. That's how you discern evil. The difference between evil and good. Was Satan lifted up with pride? Is Satan evil? A person who's always promoting themselves will not have discernment between good and evil. They're going to get trapped up. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Take the back seat. Don't take the front seat. What did Jesus say when you're invited to an event? Paraphrase. Don't take the seat up front lest you be embarrassed. And the host says, that's not your seat. Get moved to the back. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement. And then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so, it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all fitly joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. God's marvelous grace imparts to each of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. God's grace has given you unique gifts. Honor the gifts that God has given among the body. Don't give dishonor or discredit to any gift. Every gift is valuable. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the portion of faith you have to prophesy. Use your faith gift to help others, not to build up yourself, but to build up others. If your grace gift is serving, then strive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. Ask God to show you which grace gift you have if you're not sure. We can discern it on you by what you do. Others can discern your grace gift by what you do. Okay? If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without fanfare. Okay, so, God, if I have the grace gift to give to others, then I'm supposed to be prosperous. Because how can I give to others if I'm not prosperous? And you're supposed to do it without fanfare. You don't sound your trumpet when you do it. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. Take it seriously. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. Don't be grumbling about showing mercy and compassion. But do it cheerfully. If God's given you the gift to show mercy, not to return evil, to eat for evil, then do it cheerfully. I don't really want to do this, but God says I have to do it. So here, I'm just going to be nice to you. But you really don't deserve it, you jerk. But I'm just going to be nice to you anyway. That's not doing it with cheerfulness, is it? You're not really using your gift. you're not really using the fullness of your gift. You might still be using your gift, but you're not using the fullness of it. You're not getting the benefit out of it. Okay, keep on going. We're almost done. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another. Isn't that beautiful the way the Passion Translation reads? Let the inner movement of my heart always be to love someone else. And never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. That's how you know. That's how you have discernment, because you despise evil. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Try to outdo yourself in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. If the rug needs to be vacuumed, don't wait on somebody else to vacuum. Get up and vacuum it. If the counter or the thing needs to be dusted, don't wait on somebody else to dust it. Get up and dust it. Don't look and say, why is this mess still sitting here? Be a part of the solution and get up and do something.
Pick it up.
Do something.
Don't look at it.
Maybe it's always sitting there because you're the one supposed to do something about it. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing continual joy. Don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. I think this is how we know we can discern the difference between evil and good, how we can overcome evil with good. I think this is a big key. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them. And eagerly welcome people as guests into your homes. Speak blessings, not cursings, over those who reject and persecute you. Celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who weep. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another person's worth as you are your own. How many times do we see people more valuable than we are? How many times do we esteem people more valuable than ourselves? You know, if I esteem that someone is more valuable than me, then I can't do without them. I want to make sure they're always around. I want to make sure they're taken care of because I can't do without them. Okay. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking you are too important to serve others. But be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or think for a moment that you know it all. Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. What? Plan your life around how you can benefit other people. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. That means as much as within your power, live at peace with all people. Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous judgment. For the scriptures say, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch.
Yeah.
Buy him lunch.
Be nice.
Win him over with kindness.
Be nice.
Take him out for coffee.
Be nice.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
Kindness.
Win him over with kindness. Yes, look what it says. For your surprising generosity won't strike him dead. No, that's not what it says. For your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience.
That's right.
His conscience has been dull and asleep. Your generosity will cause this. God, what have I been doing all this time? It will cause an awakening in his conscience. And God will reward you with favor. It'll awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. And I like this next one, and we're going to conclude. Never let evil defeat you. Never. Never, 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 ever let evil defeat you. I think we all have a good definition of what evil is, right? Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. What? I can defeat evil with good. Evil is a trap of the enemy, but I can defeat it with good. Now, I like how the Passion Translation translates this, a footnote here. You ready for this? Don't be conquered by the evil one, but conquer evil through union with the good one. That's our blessing for the week. Don't be conquered. We will not be conquered by the evil one, but we will conquer evil through our union with the good one. Through my union with the good one, I will conquer evil. Evil will become my master. No. Yeah, well, I got that. That's right. I will not become evil's master, but the evil will be under my feet, and it will become my master. In other words, I'm your master, and you're not going to have your way.
Evil.
Yeah, I will master over evil. Yes, yes. I will master you. You will not be my master, but I will be the master over you. In other words, I'll tell you. That's right. I'll tell you what to do. Evil, you will not tell me what to do. Amen. It is important that we walk in light. Not only that we walk in this light, that we discern the difference between light and evil, because this is a year where God's making a great divide. And we need to know the difference between good, and we need to know the difference between evil. But it just doesn't stop there. We need to know that we have the creative power of God in our mouth to speak light into darkness and see it transform.
Amen.
I double dog dare you this week. I double dog dare you this week in the middle of darkness to be creative with your mouth and speak light. Wherever you are, if you see darkness trying to come in and take over a situation, you use the creative words that God has put in your mouth from that womb in this year and speak creative words of life. And create light in the middle of darkness. Create goodness in the middle of evil. Watch it happen this week.
Amen.
Put it to test this week. Any thoughts or comments before I close the recorder? Basically, overcome evil with good. Overcome it.
When you were speaking and talking about evil and good, because I was reading the book of Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar and pride and everything that he did. But God loved him still, because the first dream he had, they had to interpret the dream. He wouldn't tell them. The second dream that he had, he told Daniel, because he went directly to the source, to Daniel. And Daniel told him, but the pride kept him from doing it God's way, because he said, look what I did, look at
he
me
built himself up.
Yeah, he built himself up. And that's what you were just saying, how you built yourself up and putting others down. And I was like, wow, this is, I keep saying good, but it was just like that, but when he decided the first time about the dream and the interpretation, he was going to kill them all, because he couldn't find nobody to tell him what it meant. So Daniel told him, Daniel said, don't do that, just let me. But Daniel was humble. He never, ever looked down at Nebuchadnezzar. But he always went to the source. And he told Nebuchadnezzar who was the source. And Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged God, but he was still in himself, full of himself, that, hey, look what I did. And God had to show him. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, well, this thing is saying seven times. What does this mean? He was in that predicament for 7 years before he looked up and said, Lord.
Talking about when God, he put out to the field like an animal.
Yes.
And ate grass till he humbled himself before God.
He humbled him. But it took 7 years. Let's not take that long. Let's not take that long. That's a long time.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's up to
the
individual.
But pride is something else.
Yeah.
It also keeps, the pride keeps you from discerning what's good and evil either, because you're so lifted up in yourself. You believe anything that
that anybody tells you that's good for you, that builds you up because you're so lifted up. You always want to be lifted up yourself. So the enemy could send you a trap, and somebody tell you something that you sounds good, it's going to build you up and be good for you, would be a trap for the enemy to destroy you.
That's why
we have to keep that humble attitude. Before, I mean, we're willing to serve others. Mm-hmm. Be willing to esteem others better than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Over yourself. Live because for somebody else, not yourself.
Yeah.
Live for others and not yourself.
Because who are you serving?
That's where the blessing comes. When you live for others and not yourself, that's where the blessing of the Lord comes.
But who are you serving? What God are you serving? Are you serving the truth? Because he acknowledged, he said, the high God.
The most high God.
The most high God of Daniel.
Yeah.
He said it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He saw a reflection, didn't he?
Yes.
That grace. Daniel's heart was influenced by God and the reflection of it in his life. He saw a reflection of God. See, that's why sometimes, I think I might get God a little bit of a little piece of the puzzle here. Maybe that's why sometimes, you know, in the scripture you wonder where people would say, like with Paul, let's lose Paul when he was Saul. How do you know that was Lord speaking to him? How do you know that was Lord speaking to him? It's a reflection of God's grace. A reflection of God's grace. God's grace was reflected and he saw it was the Lord. How do people know sometimes when they haven't even served God, and but God comes to them and they know it's the Lord? How do they know that? How do they know that? You hear that. Like people that have come out of... I've heard testimonies of people that were in... Muslims that cried out to God and said, God, reveal yourself to me, and then Jesus comes and reveals himself. How do they know it's Jesus? It's a reflection of that grace is what I'm trying to say. It's a reflection, a picture of that grace that shows up.
Who was with the fleece and said, this is
Gideon. Oh, that's just something to think about. We're all over the place with thoughts and stuff.
He said, yeah. Who are you?
Yeah. He answered his own question.
That's his own question.
I want to say...
You had a thought too? I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. She's living Romans 12. She's preferring you.
Well, you were saying something when you were reading here, and you were saying, will you do it? Because that actually happened to me at work. There was something... I have a particular way I like things to be. And even though the office is community areas... You know, certain things. And I was going around one day and I was just like, why they do this? And I'm straightening up stuff. And then I'd be thinking to myself that shouldn't be like that. It should be this way. And I clearly heard the Lord say, well, you do it.
Well, you do it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things I do at the office that I don't have to do because I was complaining about it.
I got you. Wow.
And yeah. So
now, wouldn't that be something?
Now, wouldn't that
be something? Everything we complain about, God asked us to do it. How would that change our complaining?
That's how it happens.
Oh, my goodness.
At my job. Anything that I complain about, yep.
Stop complaining.
Anything I complain about, yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about, I'm using the King James, because that's what I can remember. Be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you are, you know, you're a planter, you know, you're a farmer kind of like, right?
Gardener.
So the seed of the word. I don't do gardening, so when I heard this, I was like, oh, this is good. So they said when the seed goes into the ground, it has to die and decay before it can produce and come up and create the plant or the food or whatever. So I heard somebody else as they were preaching saying, so you said be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the only way your mind, see, people want to do it up here. They want it to be a mind thing. Yeah. But the only way that your mind can be really transformed and renewed, the seed, which is the word of God, has to enter here.
Yeah.
And it has to take root here. It has to die and take root in here. And then it springs up through here and starts to renew. And the fruit starts to take
you know, the change starts to come. Because what happens is, think about it. People think, if I remember this many scriptures, they start remembering scriptures, but it don't change them.
No, wow. Wow.
Okay? It's got to come in here.
In your belly.
Yeah. Everything, and I heard the preacher say this morning, he was explaining, he said, everything actually comes through here before it gets to your brain. Because if you stick your hand on a hot stove, yeah, you pull it back. But it goes to, how come when we worry, where y'all feel it most of the time when you have anxiety or...
It's in your gut area.
This is important. This is your second brain. Actually, it's almost your first brain.
Your best one.
It's the best brain.
And even in the natural now, in the health field, that's why the last 5 or more years, we've heard everything about gut health. Gut health. Everything comes through your gut. For the rest of the healing of your body, it's the probiotic, it's the gut health.
Change your gut health, y'all.
When you did that study. When you talked about the kombucha, when you had the kombucha.
If you've ever been where somebody's hit you in the car, you've hit somebody, where's the first thing you feel when you're in an accident incident? It's in this gut. And then it starts spreading the rest of your body. You get all this here.
So I guess that saying that says, I felt it in my gut. It's like that feeling that you kind of feel it here. So you know it's for sure. It's true. It's what you want. It goes up to your brain. I think it's an old saying, but I guess it has
true.
Truth behind it.
Plant the seed on the inside of the gut.
Amen. Well, God bless us. The Lord is the blesser of our life and the keeper of our life. Amen. That we walk under the anointing and with the anointing, and we have the spirit of discernment. We know the difference between good and evil, and we are not overcome with evil or by evil, but we overcome evil by our union with the good one. Amen.
And,